encouragement, hopefully, tonight from Luke chapter 1. We'll be in a couple of other places, but my study of the Christmas season is I enjoy it every year, and every year it seems like it changes a little bit. It's a little bit different, better, maybe is a word to use. And so tonight, I just want to look at just the three times in the Christmas accounts where people were given really unbelievable news, and the angel of the Lord told them to fear not. How many of you would you say, maybe you grew up this way, how many of you would say when you grew up you were afraid of the dark? I was afraid. I mean, as a little kid, not anymore. I want to ask you if you're still afraid of the dark. Afraid of the dark when you were younger? Luke, when you were younger, were you afraid of the dark? He's not going to answer. Do you have any, or how about snakes? Is anybody afraid of snakes? I don't like snakes. I'm afraid of snakes. I agree. Anybody else have anything that they're afraid of? Spiders. I've yet to see a spider that's too big for me to step on. I've seen a snake that's too big for me to step on. That's where the difference is for me. So, you have? Oh, how big? Oh, those camel spiders? I've heard they're huge. Trash can lids. But there's one thing I think. When you grow up, you might grow out of those fears, you know, afraid of the dark, afraid of spiders. You might, or else we know how to hide our fear of those kind of things as we grow up. But I think as an adult, our fears can change. You know what I mean? Oh, the things that scare us, an unexpected bill, you know, an unexpected doctor visit, hospital visit. And I think something as an adult that can change, that can cause fear, is what many of these characters, individuals in Scripture find, and that's unexpected news. News you didn't expect, you can't control, and that is completely outside of our thinking as people. Did I tell you where to turn yet? Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, under the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now that's interesting. If we were to look back in Matthew chapter number 1, in verse number 19, when it says that she was espoused, in verse Matthew 1 and verse 19, it calls Joseph her husband. That's how serious this espousal period was. They were basically considered to be engaged, to be married, except for that they hadn't come together yet for that. Whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, what are the next two words? Fear not. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. And then look what the angel says to her, how he concludes this in verse number 37. It's interesting that he begins with fear not, and he ends with, in verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Would you read that last verse with me, verse 37? Would you read that aloud with me? For with God nothing shall be impossible. And now we talk about, and I often do this just as a reminder, I ask you often, what does the word all mean? It means all. What do you suppose the word nothing means? Nothing. But I don't believe that the angel was was joking around. I think the angel was specific when he told Mary that very fact, that with God nothing shall be impossible. We often think, when we think about the messages of Christmas, one of the things that the angel said, and we'll look at in just a second, to the shepherds, was peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And yet in all three of these instances, we can see the news that they received might not have immediately brought peace to them. And as we can look back and wonder and enjoy and rejoice in this time of year, reality often suggests something different opposed to it being peaceful. The holidays, we often cause them to be more stress-filled than they should be. I read a couple of years ago how that way back in 2010, there was a report that money is the number one concern at Christmas time. It's number one cause of stress for American adults. Yet in that same year, they estimated that $465 billion would be spent on Christmas. And then in 2013, the estimate went up from $465 billion to $602 billion on Christmas. And then in 2019, the estimate went from $602 billion to $730 billion would be spent on Christmas. And we tend to allow the pressures and the hurry and the anxiety to direct our focus more towards irritability than goodwill. It's easy to see that. You can see that all around you. I wouldn't suggest doing this, but just go to Walmart sometime during the week and you'll see it is nuts. Has anyone been to Walmart in the last 36, 72 hours? We were. It is crazy there. It's crazy. And I'm sure many other places it is the same way, and a lot of times we end up in a situation of turmoil, and we usually think of peace as an emotion or something that results from good circumstances when Christmas shopping is done, when we still have money in the bank after Christmas shopping is done, when everybody in the family is happy and getting along with each other, or our lives are free from tension. We tend to think that that's the formula for peace. But those who first experienced the announcement of Christmas might say otherwise, because they just encountered one of the most shocking moments of their lives. And as I mentioned three times, the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, our minds can't describe what these men saw, except for every time when we see an angel of the Lord, there's always light involved, there's always glory involved, there's always a message from the Lord. And each time when they receive this message, they're told to fear not. Fear not. So how can we fear not? Well, when we see from Mary's example, it involves trusting God's sovereignty, trusting God's word. I believe that's why the angel said at the end, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Mary had to learn to trust God's sovereignty. She was the first one to hear the news of Jesus' birth, and the Bible says when she heard, she was afraid. There was a passenger who was riding in a taxi, and he leaned over to ask the driver a question and gently tapped him on the shoulder to get his attention. The driver screamed, lost control of the cab, nearly hit a bus, drove up on the curb, and stopped just inches from a large plate glass window. For a few moments, everything was silent in the cab. Then the shaking driver said, "Are you okay?" "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry," he said, "but you scared the daylights out of me." The badly shaken passenger apologized to the driver and said, "I didn't realize that a mere tap on the shoulder would startle someone so badly." The driver replied, no, "I'm the one who is sorry. It's entirely my fault," he said. "Today is my first day driving a cab, and for the last 25 years I've been driving a hearse." So it would be scary to get tapped on the shoulder. The Bible says, in verse number 29, it says she cast in her mind what manner of salutation. That means she disputed within herself. She weighed the cost. And Mary's world has just been shaken, turned upside down. She had no idea how it was possible, except for what the angel was telling her. She even said, "How can this be possible, seeing I know not a man?" However, there was a greater plan. There was a greater plan. And although we have the perspective of hindsight and the Word of God, and we may think of Mary's privilege, the privilege it was to be the mother of Christ, she had reason to fear. After all, she hadn't completed the marriage ceremony yet. Very soon, she would have to tell people that she was with child, and most wouldn't believe her. Most wouldn't believe her. No wonder, the Bible says, Mary cast these things or discussed them in her mind. As Mary pondered the situation, though, as Mary began to think about what was going to happen, the angel said unto her in verse number 30, "Fear not, fear not." And we have an advantage today that Mary had. We have the complete Bible filled with promises of God. And although we don't often understand God's sovereignty, we have the promises in His Word. I'll give you a few of those tonight. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And I'm always reminded of 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 10, where it says, all around the beginning and the end of the verse is talking about the trials we go through, but right in the middle it says, "But God is faithful." Mary didn't have all the promises that we have, but Mary had word from the angel, and the angel told her in verse number 37, "With God nothing shall be impossible." And when Mary chose to trust the sovereignty of God, it was able to calm her fears. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter number 1 this evening? I understand we went over this. I believe all of you were here Sunday morning. We went over this on, looked at Joseph's life, and so we won't take too much time, but he's the second one where the angel tells him to fear not. The Bible says in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." In verse 19, look what it says. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, saying, Joseph, thou son of David," what? "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." If Mary had questions, then Joseph would have had questions. And he was faced here with a heartbreaking decision. This woman that he was espoused to, he was in love with, he cared for, he'd been preparing for, was giving him this news that she was with child, and no doubt he struggled with what to do. It was a heartbreaking, it was a fearful decision, I can imagine. As verse 19 says, he thought, and verse 20, as he thought on these things, that he wondered, struggled with what he should do. He knew what the law said, but he also loved this young lady. And Joseph gets the fear not, and he's reminded to trust in God's plan. Mary was encouraged to trust the sovereignty of God, that God knows what's going on in spite of what's going on around us, or in spite of our limited understanding. Joseph here, God's plan has already been put into motion. And Joseph's encouragement, his adversary, the opposite of fear, the opposite of fearing, living in great fear, was to simply trust God's plan. It was to obey. It was to obey. And it's as Joseph is struggling with what to do again that he's visited by the angel of the Lord, and he's told, "Fear not." And for Joseph, the true test would come as he obeyed this simple yet profound command. It would require great courage. He was going to be Mary's husband, but he was also going to be her protector. She would be faced with public scorn, and he would have to be a part of that. And he was going to take that on as well for the glory of God. And Today we understand that the Word of God isn't delivered by angels. We have it in our hands. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. And we have the Spirit of God living within us that guides us into all truth. And it's just like with Joseph and Mary. They got the Word, they got their confirmation from the Word of God. And when we face fearful situations, confusing, unsettling decisions, we can do the same thing. We can seek God through His Word. We can seek His will through His Word. But then we need to choose to obey. Proverbs 3 tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Even when God's Word or His will contradicts our understanding, we have the luxury to leave the results to God. Psalms 119, verse 165, a verse I love, says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Joseph was in response to fear, he was to trust God's plan. Mary was to trust God's sovereignty. And then if you'll turn with me back to Luke chapter 2 tonight for the third instance, I'm sure you're familiar with this one, Luke chapter 2. Verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Look at verse number 10. "And the angel said unto them," what are those two words? "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Here again we find shepherds just going about their mundane lives, their jobs of protecting, living, feeding, guiding, directing these sheep. And once again, the angels come with a message that would change their night, that would change their life. And the shepherds, just like Mary and Joseph, the Bible says they responded in the same way with fear. And it's interesting to imagine these rugged men, these hardworking men, these weathered men, afraid. Just a moment ago, they were sharing, no doubt, around the campfire, sharing stories, talking about the day, and then their nightly routine is turned upside down. A shepherd would have normally faced circumstances throughout the day that would have caused us to fear. It was their job to defend the sheep after all, and they would have no doubt had to fight off predators, had to protect the sheep, had to find the sheep, keep the sheep from wandering off. But the Bible says this event in Scripture caused them to fear. And the angels gave the shepherds the answer when they no doubt were questioning and they were fearful. And it would be neat to have been there when the angel delivered these good tidings of great joy. But I think that this message of good tidings is for us just as much as it was the shepherds, and we can face the fearful circumstances of life. And because Jesus Himself, the Bible says, is the Prince of Peace, He's the Bread of Life, He's the Light of the World, He is our Savior, and because of Him we know reconciliation with God, we know forgiveness of sin, we can have the peace Philippians tells us about that passeth all understanding. And we come, and Jesus is the reason that we can know all of that. And as this world and all around us try hard to manufacture peace and security and all of these things, putting confidence in maybe jobs or health or finances or intelligence or any number of things, but in our most vulnerable moments, all of those things can disappear in just a moment, and our peace then leaves. And we know as a child of God that our peace is in God. Our peace is in God. We can experience security in His presence like the shepherds as we make an effort to seek after Him. The Bible says when the angels went away, they immediately sought the news that the shepherds had given Him. Hebrews 10:22 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The Word of God reminds us that we can come before the Lord in our moments of fear and uncertainty. And it's this reminder of these fear not moments that God still has the ability to give us peace, even when everything seems unexpected, in His sovereignty, and trusting in His sovereignty, and trusting in the plan that He has for us, and trusting in His Word as it's revealed to us. And it's through the promises in His Word that God guides us and commands us and comforts us and encourages us. And even as with the shepherds, as though it's not a personal message to me, as though He spoke it to me, through His Word often I find Him telling me, fear not, fear not. The psalmist wrote that, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. When we first met Joseph, he's just a carpenter, a spouse to a wife, and then his world is turned upside down by news that he hadn't planned, and that can be fearful. And I'm thankful that God still cared enough about Joseph to give him an opportunity to fear not, to simply obey God's word. And Mary is just a young woman, a spouse to a man, and planning her future, no doubt, when the angel of the Lord delivers her a message that would change her life. And it was up to her to trust God's sovereignty. And God told her, fear not. And then these shepherds, the lowliest of the low, and on the hillside, and just doing what God had told them to do. And God appears to them and reminds them of the need and the importance and the result of trusting in the Word of God. I'm very thankful that Scripture is transparent about the fears of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. Most of us try to keep these things to ourselves, but God gives us a glimpse into the lives of these trembling individuals in their most vulnerable moments. And He gives us an example of how we can enjoy the gift of peace is simply by trusting God to be God. Trust His sovereignty. Trust the plan that He has. I believe He has a plan for my life. I believe He has a plan for your life. And then it's all very simple, very basic tonight. And the shepherds remind us again, just trust God's word. Seek Him in His word. Facing an overwhelming situation, it's okay to acknowledge our fears to God. It's okay to let Him know we're afraid. Reeling from unexpected news, as I mentioned in the beginning, that's often what adults fear the most, is uncontrolled circumstances. Seek God's presence. Seek His word. Trust His plan. And when fear reaches in and can grip our hearts and turn our world upside down, God reminds us through these three individuals that He offers peace. And in His presence and trusting in His word, trusting His plan, we can fear not, just like these three individuals did. Let's have a word of prayer tonight, and then we'll sing another song and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reminder and the challenge to allow You to be God and to trust You to be God and not allow our fears to overwhelm us. It can be very easy in our world today to allow fear to literally overwhelm and cause us to drown, so to speak, in fear and in our fears. And I'm thankful that we have promises from Your word, and we can trust Your word, and we can trust Your plan, we can trust Your sovereignty. Nothing has changed. You're still the God that can do anything, just as the angel told Mary, just as Gabriel told Mary, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We believe that, and thankful for that. Help us, even in this Christmas time, which can also be a time of fear, to trust You. And then as the angel said, fear not, fear not. We serve a great God. We serve a generous God. We serve a loving God. I'm thankful that You're all of those things to us and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.